AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
All right, guys, so we just recorded this week's episode after the Rafael Devers news broke, after the Dodgers took 2 of 3 from the Giants, but we finished recording before major news just broke. Shohei Ohtani will be pitching tomorrow. He'll be making his first ever start for the Los Angeles Dodgers tomorrow against the San Diego Padres. The Dodgers just announced this, and it's the first time that Shohei Ohtani has pitched on a major league field since August 23rd of 2023. So it's been almost 2 years since Shohei Ohtani last pitched. This is massive news, not just for the Dodgers, but for Major League Baseball. And this is what the Dodgers signed Shohei for 10 years, $700 million, was because of his ability to pitch. And there were reports that Shohei was progressing along faster than expected. They were keeping things very tight under reps. There were various reports out there saying that he might not return until after the All-Star break. There were people debating whether or not Shohei might come out of the bullpen, which objectively is ridiculous, but there were reports of that. But here we are, the Dodgers just break the news. He will be starting and making his first ever start season debut as a pitcher for the Dodgers tomorrow on June 16th, 2025. Mark it down. It's going to be a historic day for Dodgers baseball, and he's doing it against the San Diego Padres. You know we won't miss this one. But I had to throw that in there because we did not talk about it on today's episode. But this is just a big day. Big day. Enjoy the episode.
It is June 15th, and the Dodgers take 2 of 3 from the real rivals in the NL West, the San Francisco Giants. But the Giants may have lost the battle, but did they win the war today a little bit, Brandon? At least maybe in the court of public opinion, they won the war. We're back. It's Deferred Collusion. It's me, Jesse Rowe, the King of Crespi, joined as always by Brandon Bollinger, Lord Paramount of Torrance, California. Brandon, big news today, but before we get into it, How's your weekend? How you doing, buddy?
Jesse, first of all, we want to say happy Father's Day to all the Padres out there, not just in San Diego, but
right,
the fathers all over the world. So congratulations to you if you're a father.
And happy Father's Day to all the daddies out there, too.
That's right. That's right. And all the single moms.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's been a beautiful weekend, Jess. Got to spend time with the folks a little bit. Got to go on a little date night with the missus yesterday. We actually got to go see a screening of Sinners at like a Dolby theater, but it's where they do like the color correcting and they mix some of the sounds. So, we got a little opportunity through the missus' work. So,
is that your second time seeing it?
Yeah, it was. But we got to see it in this like incredible theater. The sound was unreal. And it was worth seeing a second time because the score and there's a lot to digest. But
dude, I'm supposed to be the cinephile here, and I haven't even seen it yet. And I really, really, really want to see it. I've heard good things.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's worth the admission. It's a lot of fun. But Jess, you know what else was a lot of fun?
What?
Watching these Dodgers beat their old town rivals, the San Francisco Giants 2 out of 3.
Yeah.
Hey, and if you looked real close, you might not notice that that was a 37-year-old Clayton Kershaw pitching 7 shutty, only giving up 3 hits while walking 1 and striking out 5, Jess.
I mean, look, nobody it seems like this is just Clayton Kershaw is at his best whenever he pinches against the Giants. I think he has some crazy career record in ERA against the Giants. I should have had that pulled up, but it was awesome to see, and we're gonna break it down, but take a look at that in the second half of this video. This will be a shorter episode than usual just because we're a little short on time, but the big news today is that Rafael Devers was traded by the Boston Red Sox to the San Francisco Giants, and the news broke maybe like 20, 30 minutes before game time, and it was, or like an hour or two before game time, and the first thing I saw was that the Giants had actually scratched Kyle Harrison from his start tonight. He was supposed to pitch, and so when I saw that, I was like, oh, that's weird, and then the news broke about Devers from Jeff Passan, and it said that Jordan Hicks was part of the deal. And I thought, well, no, surely this must mean that Kyle Harrison is also part of the deal. And of course he was. So the Giants are sending Kyle Harrison and Jordan Hicks to the Red Sox and players to be named later for Rafael Devers, who I know he obviously had a big time kind of like controversy and beef with the front office and Craig Breslow, you know, in the offseason, not wanting to play third, wanting to continue playing third base, being forced to DH, all sorts of drama there. But this is one of the best offensive players in all of baseball. And he also just signed an 11-year deal with the Red Sox. He has 9 years left. Wow. And the Giants are paying every dime of it. This is just, I mean, before I get your take on it, this just has to be a massive, massive win for the Giants. No question about it. This is a huge deal for them. Good on you, Buster Posey. We're going to talk about you in a minute. But Brandon, what are your thoughts on the trade and what are the Red Sox fucking doing?
Well, Jess, just to make a little mention about the Red Sox, boy, it seems like they are a ship taking on water and they're just getting rid of baggage, right? Just seems like a complete money dump. The vibes were bad, seemingly from the offseason, signing Bregman, being told, you know, in his words, to leave his glove at home. He's not going to need it. Then, you know, an unfortunate injury. You're asked to play it first all of a sudden, and you don't take too kindly. There was talk that, was it Craig Breslow flew out to Kansas City to meet with Devers, and after that, he still wasn't taking ground balls at first, and it was pretty clear to other teams that the Red Sox were listening to offers. All that to say that the Giants just got a 272 hitter with 15 home runs, 58 RBIs. That's tied third for most in the league, and a 905 OPS on the season. Now hitting in the heart of their lineup with Matt Chapman, with the grandson of the wind, Jung Hoo Lee. I mean, dude, it really makes the Giants, I don't know, Jess, in your opinion, do you think that they're now clear favorites over the Padres?
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell because the Dodgers just took 2 of 3 from them. So we're going to need to see, because I don't think the Giants and Padres, have they played each other yet? I'm not 100% sure if they have. I think I'll reserve my opinion on it until maybe like the second half starts. I mean, in terms of like who's better, but I will say, I do think that this, like the Giants, this is the move that they needed to make for the Dodgers and Dodger fans to really look at them and say, oh, okay, they're going to really compete with the Padres now. Like, this isn't a fluky season. They're all in. And, you know, Devers, it's funny because he's going to the Giants where he was leaving a problem where he wasn't allowed to play third base anymore. And now he's going to the Giants that has the best defensive third baseman in all of baseball and Matt Chapman. So we know he's not playing third base there. He's gonna be the DH. But when you consider them signing Willy Adames in the offseason, that's big, their big free agent signing. They extended Matt Chapman. They have Robbie Ray basically having another all-star caliber season coming off of like a year removed from getting Tommy John. And you know, obviously Logan Webb is their ace. They have weapons and requisite tools now to really be a threat. And I absolutely think they need to be taken seriously at this point as like a major contender for the division and be a thorn in the Dodgers' side for the rest of the season. That being said, the Dodgers did just beat them, but you know, it kind of felt like the Giants may have lost, but they didn't. It didn't feel like they are going to be too bent out of shape about losing this series because of what's coming on tomorrow when Devers flies in to meet them.
Yeah, it definitely feels like, all right, we got our lip bloodied. I'm speaking on behalf of the Giants fans.
Yeah.
Fandom, but it's like, all right, we got our lip bloodied, but like we're coming back and we're going to be a bigger, badder team when we come back. So, like, enjoy it. But we're still only a game and a half out of first or whatever it is. So maybe two full games. Excuse me.
Yeah, the Dodgers are now two up now.
Two up. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a little get-right series for a couple guys. You know, we saw Edmund have the homer today, which was nice. Kershaw, like we talked, we mentioned, had a great game. But Tanner Scott striking out the side to get the save today looked about as dominant as advertised. Jess, what do you think? I saw him hit 98. Seems like he's looking a little more confident. What do you think?
Looked great. I'll talk about that one second. I do just want to follow up one thing here, just on the Red Sox, really quick, and the, before we. The Red Sox, you know, they traded Mookie, they traded Xander Bogaerts. They have this history here. The Red Sox did this. This is so bizarre. The Red Sox did this after sweeping the Yankees, winning like six out of the last seven or seven out of the last eight. They're actually in a playoff spot right now, and they're above 500 for the first time in a while. Like, they're actually starting to play some good baseball without Alex Bregman. And they go and they make this move. If I'm a Red Sox fan, I am fucking flabbergasted by this. Like, I get that there was an issue with Rafi, but this just seems like you are not getting enough for trading away this type of player. And all it seems to me is like, it just, this is an ego thing for Breslow. He wants this headache of Devers gone, and he wanted to free up that money. This is kind of like a GM and an owner that you might not suspect being all that frugal. You might suspect the Red Sox, they're a big market team, that they're willing to spend a lot of money. I think that they were looking to just free up this contract, because the fact that the Giants are paying all of it, and that speaks volumes to me about the what the Red Sox motivation was here in terms of trading Devers. I think they just wanted this contract off their books, and they're like, you know, we'll retool next year and we'll figure it out. But now Alex Bregman has to re-sign if he's on this like one plus one deal, like 3-year deal or whatever it is with the Red Sox. Like, he has to re-sign long term now. Like, you just can't. Otherwise, you're super screwed with the fans. But that's my last take on it.
Because it looked like he wasn't going to re-sign, right? Because he was having such a hot start to the season, where it's like, oh, no way he's going to re-sign. He's going to go hit the open market, get even more money.
Yeah.
Gets hurt. Now we're not really sure what we're going to get. But yeah, it feels like Bregman's a must re-sign. They got to bring up their prospect or whatever. He's got what's his name? I can't remember. Whatever. The top prospect in baseball, the Red Sox.
Roman Anthony?
Roman Anthony, yeah. So, you know, maybe he develops. I don't know what he plays off the top of my head. What
he's
position.
A right fielder.
Yeah, well, maybe he moves to third. Whatever.
Yeah, no, I think you're – it's not that it's not connected, though, because they're clearly looking to do things a little bit cheaper. You know, they're like – well, we can compete
for playoff spot. That's been the Red Sox MO since they won the championship in 2018, right? It just seems like, hey, shed payroll. We're going to soak up this championship now for the better part of a decade, and we'll see when we're competitive. Yeah, we got Crochet. Cool.
Yeah, I mean, Crochet was amazing the other day. They definitely have pieces in place to be really good, but, I mean, Rafi homered today. They sweep the Yankees. Just kind of feels like this was, like, You're trading him because you don't want to deal with him rather than what.
Yeah, it definitely feels not
like he was actually hurting the team. It seems like this is more like a GM thing.
Yeah, a relationship had soured beyond the point of redemption, and it just seemed like, you know what, I'm paying this guy. I can't stand that. I just got to get him out of my uniform. So that is the business of baseball, right? At the end of the day, these stars are still just employees, and the guy that's signing your check has the ability to just send you off for what on the outside doesn't seem like enough, But hey, we'll see. Maybe Boston is retooling for something dangerous, and we just haven't seen the bigger picture just yet. But if I'm a Giants fan right now, I'm absolutely fired up. Can't get Devers in that giant black and orange soon enough.
Dude, and then just think about this, though, Brandon. He's replacing Pablo Sandoval. He's the new Pablo Sandoval. Like, they got the same body type. They were both third basemen. This is like who are terrible defensively. This is just this is perfect.
I interviewed him one time.
Pablo's old uniform and his old number.
Dude, I interviewed him one time at like a cafe in Beverly Hills, and we were just talking.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Dude, it was right before he signed that contract with Boston. He was at some cafe. Dude was just grubbing and just putting espresso down. He couldn't have been nicer.
Nice.
Really good guy. But yeah, it was like foreshadowing for what would be the like worst season of his career.
Well, let's get into it here, because you mentioned we are running a little low on time. I didn't realize we just spent 12 minutes on this, but you mentioned Tanner Scott. I do want to get to him, but let's just start with game one is the only game the Dodgers lost here, and it's because Yamamoto had basically his worst start of the season. He gave up a grand slam to Casey Schmidt. And before we really get into it, because Casey Schmidt hit another grand slam in the next game off of Kike, two grand slams in the series. It's so Giants to me that the Giants, the one time that they clip the Dodgers is it's always this guy that you've never heard of, like Casey Schmidt. Today it was Daniel Johnson hitting his first home run of the season off of Kirby Yates. This is what the Giants always do. They somehow find these like guys that are scrap pieces, these like misfit toys, and they throw them in there.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
And they seemed to get the job done, and that's what kind of was Yamamoto's undoing. He threw a really bad splitter to Casey Schmidt, and he paid for it, and it seems like he was getting a little squeezed by the umpire in this game. Not terribly, but he was getting a little bit squeezed, had to throw some extra pitches, and just didn't have his like fine command of any of his pitches. It got him into some trouble.
Yeah, Jesse, to your point, five walks, and that is not something we're used to seeing for Yama at all. With only four Ks, definitely control is an issue. 102 pitches, only 56 of those for strikes. So, really struggling with it. There's a lot of talk, Jess, about Yamamoto needing that sixth day of rest. Yeah. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the splits on 6 days rest versus 5 days of rest is pretty staggering.
He's a 4+ ERA on 5 days rest, and he's like a sub-2 ERA on 6 days rest.
Do you think that's something that now we have a large enough sample size that you think Dave or whoever's making the lineup card every day consider that for the rest of the season? Or what? Do we just got to pitch him every five? We just need him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the Dodgers can really do at this point, just with how many pitchers are out. Maybe that'll change when Emmett Sheehan comes back. And there are reports that Shohei might return a little bit earlier, which is really nice to hear that he's actually, like, in terms of what we were expecting recently, he's actually maybe expected back a little bit sooner. Yeah. So I do think he needs to be in a six-man rotation for now. But, I mean, come playoff time, this is a guy that's paid where he's going to need to pitch more than once every 5 days. He's going to be more than once every 6 days, I'm saying.
Yeah.
He's going to have to pitch twice in a series. You know what I mean? He'll have to pitch twice in a series to really make himself valuable or get the most out of him in that contract. And, even though the Dodgers do have incredible depth at pitching, it's like there's no guarantee anybody's going to be healthy. And if he's there, he's going to be asked to do that. So you would like to see that come up. But, for now, with the amount of pitchers the Dodgers have, when they come back healthy, I think six games is just the way to go for now.
Yeah, I agree. I think now that we got, like you said, Emmett Sheehan coming back, they said that Shohei's going to do one last, like, I don't know if it was a sim game or just facing live batters, but after that, he could be game ready, barring any setbacks. So something to look for in the next week or two that we could see Shohei in a some sort of capacity. But, you know, any innings that he could eat up to start is meaningful. You know, him and Sheehan, you know, even though Gonsolin was giving up the long ball just to lose another starter, as we see Dustin May give up another, you know, four runs. I think his ERA is close to 4.5 on the season. He's got more innings pitched than strikeouts right now, which is a little surprising. You know, not what you want to see for D-May, but he has been an efficient innings eater when the Dodgers have so sorely needed a reliable arm.
I mean, if you really look at it, like, it kind of feels like he's at a point where if he goes six innings, he's giving up three runs. You can't really expect him to go six.
If you're lucky, dude, I think if he's going six, you should expect him to give up four plus.
Went six and three tonight. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think over the last month, he had five starts, not including today, I believe, where he only went five, three of the six games or something like that. Anyways, I'm rooting for D-May, but I'm feeling like it's kind of inevitable that he's going to be a bullpen piece. I think he's a guy that can, you know, definitely be a starter in an opener role, maybe, or a long inning kind of guy. But I think you can get two, three good innings from D-May. But it feels like it's really not coming together after that. He doesn't have that swing and miss, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he went six innings, three runs tonight. But, I mean, if you were to ask me after the fourth inning, I think it was 3-2 Giants, he gave up the double, the RB, two-run triple to Jung-Hoo Lee.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I was like, oh, like this feels like Dustin May going six innings, giving up five runs. That's kind of what it felt like it was going to. So the fact that he only gave up three is, it's like a 4-5 ERA, but it still feels like it's a win at this point for the Dodgers, just because they really don't have a lot of guys who are eating a lot of innings, and he has consistently been doing that. As you mentioned, like, I wouldn't call him a workhorse, but never going less than five innings this whole season, and he's gone six different times now. I think that's valuable for what the Dodgers need right now. And it kind of just feels like he's giving them everything he can.
Yeah.
And that's really,
he's a dog, no doubt about it, Jess. You see him out there. He's willing to die in a shield. And that's, I mean, he's kind of got some of that old school, like, I don't know, like Curt Schilling to him a little bit, right? Like, he just kind of feels like a little bit, I don't know, a little bit of a psycho up there. And I just always love watching a pitcher who seems like they got a screw loose and D-May fits the bill.
It's fun to watch, but it's also, it makes you wonder his mental fortitude, if you will, because it seems like he's very reactive to everything that happens out there. It's like he's wearing everything on his sleeve. And it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing. Because, you know, we've talked about this before, but it seems like every single time somebody make contact, he like jumps 5 feet in the air as if they just hit a 500-foot home run. It just seems like he's very on edge all the time. It's needing to calm down.
Yeah, but he's got to remember that he can spit some fire, dude. We believe in you, D-May. Prove me wrong, dude. I'm rooting on you.
He gave us what we needed tonight, and you know the Dodgers bullpen did their job. They went three innings, gave up one run, which was a weird situation with Kirby Yates not getting a strike three call, and then Daniel Johnson homering a pitch later. Kind of a weird situation, but that was all the bullpen gave up. And then, to your point, Brandon, Tanner Scott came in and just absolutely just shut the lights out on the Giants.
Bulldogged him.
Just bullied him, dude. Yeah. Yep. Threw nothing but heat, blew it right by him. I think he struck out the side.
Yeah, he did.
Has looked great in his past couple of outings. And I think he's starting to win back Dodger fans outing by outing. I think I agree with that.
Yeah. I agree. You saw the fans getting up, feeling that the series clinch Kay was coming. You know, seeing him at 98 was what really, really got me fired up, because I'm like, okay, he's feeling good. The body feels good. The slider was sliding. And when he got that together and he's dotting that fastball up in the top of the strike zone, he just looks like a bully, dude. To your point, he just looks nasty up there.
He really reminds me of Billy Wagner.
That's a cool comp.
Yeah,
that's
just really, the way that the ball is thrown, the trajectory of his pitches, the profile of his pitches, it just really reminds me of Billy Wagner when he's out there. And that's a major compliment, because Billy Wagner is one of the greatest closers of all time. I wouldn't say Tanner Scott is quite that, but he reminds me of him.
Yeah, dude. I think I pick it up what you're putting down. Yeah. But an efficient outing for Scott, dude. Only 13 pitches, 10 strikes. So that's what you want to see. That's what you want to see out of a closer, right? A guy coming right at you, coming to get you out, you know, daring you to hit it.
And it was, I think it was important for him to do it against the Giants too, the hated rival, just a good way to cap out the series. Cause you know, it's been a little bit of a shaky year for the Dodgers, and they're kind of underperforming what we're expecting. Yeah, they're two games in front of the Giants now, which is great, but it does feel like they've slightly underperformed. But for Scott to really hone in and get it going is a sign of good things to come. And also, I think just the way the Dodgers beat the Giants was important, because, you know, we're coming off of beating the Padres 2 out of 3. And that series, it felt like, it felt like a statement for the Dodgers. This is more like a reminder for the Dodgers, because I think that the Giants maybe were – they caught the Dodgers off guard and beat them in game one. The way the Dodgers were able to recover, win the next two, and win them pretty convincingly is a good thing to know. And before we cap this conversation off, we just have to give a shout-out to Andy Páez today.
The all-star, baby.
Got the big hit, the 3-run home run. To off of Ryan Walker after the Dodgers went down 3-2, and it was the very next pitch after he hit a home run foul. He crushed one foul, and it was like, oh, shit. Feels like he missed his pitch, right? And then the very next pitch hits a 3-run home run and won the series for the Dodgers. Brandon, does Andy Páez deserve a trip to the All-Star game in 2025?
Jesse, without a doubt. 4 ribbies on the day, that 3-run home run, as you mentioned. He's just having a season. Kid's got 13 home runs, 46 RBIs, 281 average, and an 800 OPS. I mean, couldn't ask for more. And Jesse, as we stated on last week's episode, we have officially started the Don't Run on Páez Club, dude.
Yep.
The kid's got a cannon. I mean, he's been better than advertised after a shaky start. You know, we had mentioned he had earned, after his playoff performance, he had earned the starting spot somewhere in the outfield, and enough of a leash to go through a little bit of an early season slump. Boy, has he rewarded that patience. Just looks like a big league hitter in every sense of the word. Hasn't seemed lost. His mechanics seem tight. He's staying in on the ball. Dude, that drive, like you said, after that foul ball, that left center field, just, he's just hitting them Cuban missiles, baby. Yeah, it's a crisis out here.
If you had told me this, you know, in the first couple of weeks of the season when he was making base running blunders, he was terrible. Mm. He was really bad at the plate, just indecisive. In between pitches, playing some subpar defense too. He played a couple of misplayed balls in one in the Philly series that cost the Dodgers a game. I would have told you that he would have been sent back down to the minors by now, but he has proved me wrong. Just a little note on him. He is on pace now for 29 home runs, 104 RBIs, and a 5.6 F-WAR. I mean, obviously... Wow. It's asking a lot for him to extrapolate that, but when you consider when you have Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Teoscar Hernandez, Will Smith, Max Muncy, and then Andy Páez doing that, I mean, that's just a luxury that few teams have ever had in their seventh spot in the lineup. And, kudos to him, man, because what an incredible season he's had.
And Jesse, just to add on to that, those projected numbers you just read off, that's comparable to just about what Teoscar Hernandez did last season.
Right.
So that kind of production, but doubled. Now you got two guys doing that. I mean, that's an embarrassment of riches. The defense has been above expectation, and the arm has been way above, you know, what we thought was possible. And just so you don't think the kid is recency bias, you know, at home this season, he is hitting .305 with a .902 OPS. So he loves batting in LA, dude. He's seeing the ball well, and that LA crowd is giving him them bombs, daddy. It's been really fun to watch him. And like we said, he is definitely an all-star. So
yeah, I don't think that there's any question about it that he might not be starting on the team, but I'd put him up there with how many outfielders make it, like six outfielders, seven outfielders make the roster. I would say he's one of the top seven outfielders in the National League right now.
I'd say it's clear that he's the best outfielder on the Dodgers right now as of recording.
I agree with that. So it obviously good vibes for the Dodgers. One we're going to end on, which is one little bummer of a note here, because Dave Roberts did give an update on Roki Sasaki, and he basically said that they are going forward under the assumption that Roki likely will not return this year. Brandon, you basically kind of predicted this a few episodes ago that we're likely not going to see Roki again this year, and I started to see things your way. Apparently, his arm is not responding well, and they're just going to let him rebuild his strength, get a full off season in with the team trainers and everything, and then kind of start fresh next year. And to be honest, man, I think that's the smartest move that you can make for Roki Sasaki right now.
Jesse, you know I love your takes, baby. But I told you this for like almost 3 weeks now. Like you said, it just makes too much sense. Roki is a long-term investment. He's a young arm with a lot of miles on it. Who have we seen like that before, Jess? Clayton Kershaw. This new Guggenheim administration took over after a Clayton Kershaw had basically carried this Dodger team to the playoffs for a couple of years, and Don Mattingly rode that arm till it, you know, fell off a little bit. We don't want to see that happen with Roki. I believe they have him for another five seasons. Am I correct, Jesse?
Yeah, he's on a normal minor league deal. It's a six-year deal like any minor leaguer. So, and it's, I'm not sure what the team control considerations are, being that they would shut him down for the season, if that would maybe extend it another year. I'm not sure. But no, because I think he started the season with the Dodgers. So I think, it would be five more years. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just makes sense if it's an investment like that. And it's a guy you expect to compete at a very high level. You get your strength and conditioning coaches on him.
He should be like the Dodgers ace if he lives up to his potential. So you have to take it seriously with him.
Yeah, I saw some takes, some hot takes. They were, but takes nonetheless, of people early in the season, before opening day, claiming Roki Sasaki was going to have a better season than Paul Skenes. Kind of scoffed at it, but that is the kind of potential Roki was coming into the season with.
Yeah.
And we've seen flashes of it, but not enough to really believe the hype, right? A lot of Dodger haters were having a easy time shooting at Roki, and ex-players, right? Calling him soft, saying you can't cry, he's not going to last in the league. Well, you know, give him a long off season and we'll see what he comes back to next year. I mean, who knows? Maybe he's ready for the playoffs. Maybe we get him in a little relief role. Who knows? I doubt it. But all the best to you, Roki. And hey, if not, we'll see you in 2026. It would be bullshit, though, Jess, if he's like injured through to next year and he pitches in 2026 and looks really good, and then we have a lockout for another year and we just get robbed of another year of Roki.
And that's totally a possibility, and I think actually a high probability at this point that there will be a lockout. But look, that's a conversation for another day. Let's just hope that Roki gets well, that he gets healthy, and that you know, he lives up to the potential, because you know, all you want is to see this guy pitching big games for the Dodgers, especially when you have 5 years left. So wish you nothing but the best, Roki. But yeah, this is Dodgers take 2-3. They get to the Padres are right back in the picture. We get another series versus the Padres. They're coming to Dodger Stadium. That starts tomorrow. and we will we'll do a midweek episode to recap the series and talk about that a little bit. But yeah, Brando, this was a fun one. Any last words before I let you go out to dinner, Papa? I'm just so happy for you. Your very first Father's Day too. You know, this is as a dad, I'm just so happy for you.
Thank you, brother. It is pretty sweet. Love being a dad. Yeah, it's cool being a girl dad. Anyways,
yeah,
love you. She's very stoked about Dodgers. She's a big Dodger fan, so you know.
Speaking of being a girl dad, Clayton Kershaw did announce on today's broadcast that he has a fifth child on the way, and he's expecting a little girl. So congratulations,
Kershaw. MLB's dad in a lot of ways, right? One of the oldest guys in the league, still doing it. Hey, that 7 innings, dude, no earned, was so huge. Kike got to pitch again. We didn't even mention Kike's ERA jumped from a 1.8 to a 9+ ERA.
He was one of the best relievers on the Dodgers before that outing. And he had two outs, too. He had two outs, and then he gave up 5 runs.
Yep, almost like Dustin May today, but only gave up 3.
Final note before we go. Clayton Kershaw in his last 5 starts. He has a 1.9 ERA.
Love that.
Hashtag just saying.
Coming back. Looks like Blake Snell's on the way.
Yeah.
Tyler Glasnow's throwing again. There are troops on the way. It's looking all right. And Jess, before we get out of here, one last thing. To everybody that joined us, thank you so much. And please remember to like, subscribe, comment, share, whatever you want. We got clips on our socials. We're trying to get better at that. But thank you, guys. Enjoy your weekend. We got some great baseball coming up. Stoked to see the Padres again. The most exciting brand of baseball is back.
Absolutely.
Jesse, I love you, Big Daddy. Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Love you too, buddy. See you next time.
Deferred Collusion, we are out of here.
Bye-bye.